Hello and welcome. This is Brother Mike at May-21-2011.com with another study. This particular study is entitled The 7-Day Warning of God to Noah Until the Flood Foreshadowed the 7,000-Year Warning of God to Humankind from the Flood Until Judgment Day. Just as Noah shut the door to the ark to keep anyone else from being saved on that 17th day of the second month in the year 4990 BC, so also must Christ have shut the door to salvation on that same date in the year 2011 AD, which was May 21, 2011. Grace and peace to all who were eternally saved into the ark of salvation, Jesus Christ, within the 7,000 years from Noah's flood to the beginning of Judgment Day on May 21, 2011. For in that Noah was forewarned by God that he had but just 7 more days to get into the ark to be saved from the flood, so also was humankind through that same biblical account forewarned that they had but just 7,000 more years from the flood to be eternally saved in Christ, based on 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, which, as we shall see, states that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. And in that, after the 7 days from when Noah was given his 7-day warning, the door of the ark was shut, and the floodwaters immediately came so that only just the 8 people in the ark, Noah and his family, could any longer be saved. So also, we see foreshadowed in this account that after the exactly 7,000 years from the flood ended on May 21, 2011, to begin the many days of Judgment Day, the door to eternal salvation was immediately shut, and the spiritual floodwaters immediately came, so that only those who were already then in the ark of Jesus Christ, God's chosen, just like Noah and his family were chosen, could any longer be eternally saved. Thus, just as in the days of Noah, no one could any longer be saved in the ark immediately after the 7 days that Noah had been warned about came to an end. So also, no one could any longer be eternally saved in Jesus Christ, the eternal ark of salvation, immediately after the 7,000 years from the beginning of Noah's flood came to an end on May 21, 2011, when the many days of Judgment Day began. We can be certain, therefore, that any possibility for eternal salvation in Jesus Christ, the eternal ark of salvation that was typified by Noah's ark, came to an end on May 21, 2011, just as it came to an end exactly 7,000 years earlier on the last day of God's 7-day warning to Noah when the door to the ark was shut and the flood came. Let's look at all this in more detail. We read of Noah's 7-day warning in Genesis 7. In verse 4, we read, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights, and every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And we read further in this account, in verses 10 through 13 of the same chapter, "And it came to pass after 7 days that the flood waters of the flood were upon the earth. in the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were opened. And the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah and Noah's wife, and the three wives of his sons with them into the ark. There was eight people total in the ark. So, we not only see that Noah was given a seven-day warning to get into the ark to be saved, but he and his family actually got into the ark on the last day of that seven-day warning, the very same day that the floodwaters came. That was the very day when the door to the ark was shut, so that no one else could enter and be saved. We should also make note that this day, when the flood waters came, we were told was precisely the 17th day of the second month of the ancient calendar of Noah's day. But now, how was it that the seven-day warning given to Noah was actually a 7,000-year warning given to all of humankind, that they had but 7,000 years from the day in which Noah's flood began to enter and be saved into the eternal ark of salvation, Jesus Christ? To understand this, we must pay careful attention to what God teaches in 2 Peter chapter 3, where we read in verses 3 through 8, "Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last day scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is this promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water. That is, by the word of God that he spoke, the heavens and the earth were created. Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire, against," literally, that "against" is into, "the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Wow! It is incredible what God reveals in this passage. He says that scoffers would come in the last days. And these scoffers are basically mocking the whole notion of Christ coming back to bring judgment against them and the world based on their self-contrived delusion that things have remained the same from the beginning of the creation. Obviously, these scoffers are not using the Holy Scriptures as their source of knowledge, or even examining the archaeological record, the scientific data, which also all points to that there was a worldwide flood. Otherwise, they would have clearly realized that things have not always remained the same from the beginning of creation. But there really was a flood that completely changed everything. In fact, as we previously read in the Holy Scriptures of 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 6 and 7, "Whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against," And again, that word against literally means into the day of judgment and perdition of godly men. Now listen carefully. It is right after this context of comparing the flood in the days of Noah, wherein the world did perish by water, to the destruction of the world by fire, into the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men, that God really wants His true people to know something obviously quite special. For He says, "But beloved," and of course, the beloved are His elect, His saints, the ones who He died for. "Be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day." Why is this such an important thing for God's beloved, His chosen people, or saints, that they should not be ignorant of? In fact, it is in the imperative mood that you can click on to check for yourself of the Greek language. So it is a command to us, His true people, to not be ignorant or oblivious, it could be translated, to this one very important thing. That one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. Does He say this simply to teach that His time scale in accomplishing things is different from ours, because He is outside of time and eternity, so that a long period of time to Him is no different than a short period of time? Indeed, God is outside of time and eternal, making time in the context of eternity of no real significance to Him. To Him, a thousand years are not even a drop in the bucket of eternity. And one day is a thousand years because the difference in time between the two is so small when compared to the eternity in which God dwells, that the difference between the two is not even worth mentioning. It is as if one day is a thousand years and a thousand years are one day. Is this what God means when He says that one day is as a thousand years and a thousand years as one day? Well, certainly so. But there is also something He is teaching about the seventh day warning given to Noah, because the context of everything is that of comparing the earth's destruction by the flood of Noah's day, wherein there was given to Noah a seven-day warning to the coming of the flood, to the destruction of the earth by fire into judgment day, and the perdition of ungodly men in the last days. Even our Lord, while on earth, compared the days of Noah to His coming in judgment. That is, or we could say, to His coming in fire, because judgment can and is often symbolized by the term fire, into judgment day. For we read in Matthew 24, verses 37 through 39, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming," and that word coming could be translated, "or presence of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming or presence of the Son of Man be." Look, my point is simply this. In God saying, "But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as a thousand years, and a thousand years is one day," in the context of comparing Noah's flood, at which time Noah was given a seven-day forewarning to the coming of the flood, to Christ coming in judgment into judgment day in the latter days, we are being taught this one important thing, which we are commanded to not be ignorant of. That each day of Noah's 7-day warning until the flood was equivalent to 1,000 years. And each 1,000 years, therefore, of humankind's 7,000-year warning from the flood until judgment day was equivalent to one day. For one day, we are told, is with the Lord as 1,000 years. And for emphasis, it is repeated backward. And 1,000 years as one day. That is, Noah's 7-day warning was equivalent to a warning to humankind that they had but 7,000 years from the flood to enter and be eternally saved into the ark of salvation, Jesus Christ. After which time, eternal salvation would no longer be possible due to judgment day having come. And the door to the eternal ark of salvation, Jesus Christ, having been shut forever. And indeed, we warned the world of these things, that salvation would come to an end on May 21, 2011, as the gospel went out in virtually every way possible in leading up to May 21, 2011. And isn't it amazing, absolutely amazing, that according to the perfect, accurate biblical timeline of history that you can click on to see that it's perfect, and also you can click on to see the timeline that comes directly from the Holy Scriptures of the Bible, by simply adding up the genealogies of Genesis 5 and 11 in the way prescribed by the Holy Scriptures themselves, and not by some unbiblical way, as it was done in the 16th century by a so-called Bishop Usher, who said the world was created in 4004 B.C., exactly 7,000 years from the year of the flood in 4990 B.C. comes exactly to the year 2011 A.D. After we had been given the true biblical timeline of history, some 50 or 60 years, I believe it was, before 2011 A.D., we had already seen this 7,000-year period from the year of the flood to the year 2011 just in the biblical timeline of history alone, many years before we were even given the proof of 2 Peter 3, 6 through 8, namely that the 7-day warning given to Noah until the flood came was a 7,000-year warning to humankind that they had but 7,000 years from the year of the flood in 4990 B.C. to get into the ark of salvation, Jesus Christ. Therefore, we already had a very good idea that judgment would begin in the year 2011 A.D. simply because the year was exactly 7,000 years from the year of the flood in 4990 B.C. in the biblical timeline. And based upon the symbolism in the number 7,000, which breaks down to the biblically significant numbers of 1,000 times 7, to symbolize the complete perfection of time from Noah's judgment to the final judgment that Noah's judgment had foreshadowed. And you can click on Bible numbers 1,000 and the number 7 to see how the Bible defines those numbers. But years later, when God revealed the reason why he said that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years and 1,000 years as one day in 2 Peter 3:8, we then had a proof to support our long before hypothesis that judgment day would begin in the year 2011 AD. And now, isn't it amazing even more that according to the perfectly accurate biblical timeline of history, exactly 7,000 years from the day that the flood came on the 17th day of the second month in the year 4990 BC of Noah's day came to exactly the 17th day of the second month in the year 2011 AD of the Jewish lunar calendar, which was May 21, 2011, according to our Gregorian modern-day calendar. This was indeed quite amazing, because there were only certain years in which May 21, 2011 would land exactly on the 17th day of the second month of the Jewish lunar calendar, and May 21 was one of those days. So, this gave us even stronger proof that the many days of Judgment Day would begin on May 21, 2011, as it did. How could any of that have happened as chance? We began to see more and more. God is in control of history, and He guides all the events of history, and He set it up that way perfectly. So, the 17th day of the second month, which was the day that Noah entered the ark and the flood came and nobody else could be saved, came up once again 7,000 years later, according to the Jewish lunar calendar, to give us strong support that the many days of Judgment Day would begin on May 21, 2011, as it did. Indeed, it is amazing that God perfectly correlated the 17th day of the second month when the floodwaters began in Noah's day with the 17th day of the second month of the Jewish lunar calendar in the year 2011, which was May 21, 2011, according to our modern day calendar, to strengthen our proofs and evidence that the many days of Judgment Day would begin on May 21, 2011. To see all the vast proofs and evidence, carefully study and read evidence and proofs for the biblical timeline and May 21, 2011 that you can click on to go to. And the following are just a small sample of the many scriptures which reveal that salvation has ended in the Bible. For instance, we read in Revelation chapter 22, verse 11, "He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy still." The reason this scripture says that the unjust, that is, the unsaved, will remain unjust, that is, unsaved, and he which is filthy, that is, unsaved, will remain filthy, that is, unsaved, is because the Lord has removed eternal life and salvation from all the Christian churches and the entire world, which means that the unjust and filthy, that is, the unsaved, cannot become saved any longer. But they will be left, even hardened, to remain in their sin. And he that is righteous, that verse says, and he that is holy, that is the eternally saved, already, will remain as such because they cannot lose their salvation in Jesus Christ. So right there in Revelation 22, verse 11, we have a verse that makes perfect sense. And it's in the context in Revelation of being obviously near the end of the world, since it's near the end of the book of Revelation, that there would come a time which the filthy and the unjust could no longer be saved. But the righteous, that is those who are already saved and righteous because of Christ's righteousness alone, they would remain that way because a truly saved person cannot lose their salvation. Further support for salvation having ended during the time period in which we now find ourselves after May 21, 2011 comes from what we read in Mark and Matthew. Mark chapter 13, verse 24 reads, "But in those days after that tribulation," okay, that's referring to the great tribulation, "the sun shall be darkened and the moon shall not give her light." And again, in its parallel passage in Matthew 24, 29, "immediately after the tribulation of those days," that's the great tribulation again, "shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Notice that immediately after the tribulation, which is the great tribulation, which we know was completely spiritual and ended on May 21, 2011, according to the biblical timeline of history. And you can click on proofs to see that that is the case. "The sun is darkened, the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven." This is not talking about the sun literally being darkened, or the moon literally not giving her light, or the stars literally falling from heaven to the earth. This is spiritual language describing the end of eternal life and salvation after May 21, 2011. And you can click on Isaiah chapter 13, verse 10 for more information on that, and Revelation 6, verses 12 through 13. The sun represents Christ, you see. And for Christ to be darkened means that the light of salvation is no longer shining unto salvation. The moon in the Bible represents the law of God. And sometimes it can even refer to Satan, but in this case it's referring to the law of God. And for the moon not to give her light means that the law is no longer shining forth to lead unto salvation. The stars, of course, in the Bible represent true believers in Jesus Christ. And for them to fall from heaven simply means that the light of salvation is no longer shining to the world through them. Oh yes, there are still so-called Christians who think they are proclaiming the gospel, but it is all in vain because the Holy Spirit is no longer working to apply the gospel to anyone's heart unto true eternal life and salvation. Although the counterfeit unholy spirit of the perfect counterfeit Christ, the Antichrist, that you can click on to see that he really is Satan, not some man yet to come, and that he's Satan himself, indeed. Also called the man of sin in the Bible, the abomination of desolation, the little horn, and the beast. He's bringing about many counterfeit salvations in this day, in and through so-called Christian churches, to, if possible, deceive God's very elect, who are no longer in any church, Matthew 24, 24 and Mark 13, 22. Indeed, based upon the language of the previously read scriptures, it is clear that eternal life and salvation has come to an end ever since May 21, 2011. And I list, maybe 10 to 15 more scriptures that show or teach that salvation came to an end. And I encourage you to click on those and look at those in detail. For indeed, for those who have been given eyes to see, the end to eternal life and salvation is really revealed in many places of Holy Scripture. No matter how hard those out there are trying to still say there is salvation, and they're bringing up all these scriptures that basically are out of context, are not taking into account the biblical timeline of history, And if we didn't know the biblical timeline of history, we really couldn't know when virtually anything in the end time takes place. Because without that, we would just be guessing. We would try to base it on something that we're outwardly seeing. And we're never to do that. We're to let the Bible define, comparing Scripture with Scripture. Words with words, to let the Bible define its own words. And that is what very few people, or so-called prophets, or pastors, or teachers, or evangelists actually do. So, God's 7-day warning to Noah until the flood came was a foreshadow of God's 7,000-year warning to all humankind from when the flood began until Judgment Day began on May 21, 2011. And so just as Noah entered and shut the door to the ark on the last day of God's 7-day warning to him when the flood came, so that no one else could be saved on that 17th day of the second month, we are told it was in the year 4990 B.C., so also did Christ shut the door to the eternal ark of salvation, namely himself, on the last day of God's 7,000-year warning to all humankind, so that no one else could be eternally saved on that same date of the Jewish lunar calendar in the year 2011 A.D., which was May 21, 2011. Therefore, ever since the many days of Judgment Day began, on that date of May 21, 2011, we have strong proof that God brought an end to eternally saving any more people. And we, God's people, are to be declaring that, making that known to the whole world, and especially to his churches. Of course they're not going to believe it. Of course they're not going to want to look at it. They're just going to kind of shrug it off and do that. Of course they're going to, because they're under the judgment of God. They're being blinded by God. They're being fed a strong delusion. For what purpose? That they will be damned. That they will not come to the truth. And that's, in a way, the reason why God did not physically start destroying the world on May 21, 2011, as we and many others thought it would happen on May 21. He wanted to catch them in a snare, so that now nobody thinks that it's true. Nobody understands that really, as far as eternity is concerned, which is what really matters, the end has already come. All God's people were saved by that date of May 21, 2000. All the ones that he had chosen from the foundation of the world is done. The gospel has no purpose to go out in the world anymore except to bring judgment. And that's what God is using his people for today. Christ did come back spiritually on May 21, 2011. His presence is here working through his people to bring judgment. And that is our calling. Let us fulfill our calling unto the last day, that we may glory in his presence. Well, so also did Christ shut the door to the eternal ark of salvation, just like he shut the door to salvation to Noah and anyone, to all those outside of the ark in Noah's day. He shut it so that nobody could get in to be saved. Christ did the same thing on May 21, 2011, spiritually, not literally, physically, and we need to understand the way the Bible was written. The Old Testament gave many earthly pictures, we should say, or earthly parables, I would say, historical parables, because they were true. The history was true. But they pointed to a deeper spiritual meaning that was yet to come. And many people don't understand that. That's the big difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament. So we should be looking for the spiritual fulfillments, not the literal physical fulfillments, the spiritual, not a physical man, Antichrist, coming, but the true spiritual Christ, the fulfillment of what all the Antichrist men pointed to, which was Satan himself. He came. He set himself up in the church already. He's ruling the church. He's ruling over it. And the people in the churches don't even know it. They're deceived. God is blinding them. Well, now, until the next time, when I do believe we will review a few more important teachings of Revelation chapter 13, we'll review some of those things a little bit more. May Yahweh bless thee and keep thee. Yahweh make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. Yahweh lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace.